from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. It's a football Friday, Dorn.
Sure is.
Actual, real, legitimate college football took place last night, and it will take place tomorrow. And joining us now to break down and handicap all the biggest games is our good buddy, the triumphant return of Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. He's on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Lee, it's good to have you back, buddy. How you doing?
I'm great. I mean, my Miami Hurricanes, I told my wife, I think what makes college football great this year, could be the greatest year ever. There's hope. I mean, our teams that we like to follow, West Virginia, Penn State, Miami, we could be sitting 15th, 18th, 22nd with 2 or 3 weeks to go. We run the table. We're in the tournament. So I told my wife, she doesn't like motorhomes at all. I love motorhomes. Said, Miami, I got her to agree to this. Miami makes the playoffs. We're going to rent a motorhome, gas it up, and go as far as the Canes go.
Oh, wow. So you're not getting a motorhome.
I'm not getting one, but I'm going to rent one.
You're not renting one?
This is the year, guys. Are you feeling it with West Virginia and Penn State?
What about Pitt here? This is not a Penn State-liking program.
Well, I like Pitt, but
I don't think
they're there yet.
Oh, Let's start off with some of the games this weekend. Lee Sterling, within 37 seconds, he's talking about motorhomes. It's like we never left you, Lee. You got Florida State giving 19 to Boston College after their loss across the pond. Who you like here?
FSU hit it big last year in the transfer portal. I mean, it was like they hit on guy after guy. I mean, these kids were getting drafted also high in the draft. But this year, a lot more misses than hits. Biggest miss was DJ Uiagalelei. I threw my share of interceptions in high school and college, but he threw 3 or 4 balls I've never thrown that bad. They weren't even close to receivers. So I think they're going to get better here. I think the coaching is good, but now they got to face a quarterback in Thomas Castellanos, very similar to last week, Haynes King. I mean, in the game last year that FSU pulled out in that 31-29 escape, he ran for 95 and threw for 305 yards here. So maybe Florida State went after the wrong guy, just saying. I don't love BC. What does it tell you if their coach, after a 7-6 season and wins a bowl game, bolts and goes to the NFL as a defensive coordinator? Florida State recovers, but not enough to lay that kind of wood. Florida State 31-20.
All right, Lee, your Miami Hurricanes taking on the Florida Gators at the Swamp. They're giving 2 points.
So to beat a team in the SEC, you got to win the battle in the trenches, especially early, and the ACC teams have not done it on a consistent basis. Miami finally has the kids in the trenches. They've got top 10 units on the offensive and defensive line. Florida, their offensive and defensive lines are just in the 30th and 40 category as far as the way that I break down these units. And Also, Miami finally, I mean, Mario Cristobal finally hired an in-game consultant. I mean, it took him 6 years of coaching at Oregon and Miami to figure it out. Cost him two games, but he has a quarterback in Cam Ward, transferred from Washington State, over 50 starts under his belt. Graham Mertz has improved. He looks good. But he's going to have to go like 20 for 25, and they're going to have to get like, I think, three or more turnovers. And the Gator defense, how many turnovers do you think they had last year, the entire year, guys? Take a guess.
No. Tell me.
Three.
Seven. Seven turnovers.
Wow.
In 12 games here. The right team's favored, Miami, 31-24.
All right, the next one on the list is Penn State, West Virginia. We'll do the two local games last, Lee, and we'll go right to Georgia against Clemson. And a few years ago, Clemson went into the game a three-point favorite, and it was a 10-3 final. Oh, how times have changed. Georgia now favored by 13.
Dabo is wound tight. I mean, he's not taking calls on his radio call-in show anymore. He's not accepting transfers, which is a mistake. Only Clemson, Army, Navy, and Air Force not accepting transfers. They returned 13 starters. The Bulldogs, 14. But Kirby Smart said, yeah, if you're the right kid, we'll accept you. Trevor Etienne from Florida comes over. Tight end Trevor Yaroshik from Stanford, and Miami wide receiver Colby Young. So they really have 17 starters returning with Carson Beck at quarterback. They have the number four special teams. And Cade Klubnik just not getting the job done. They scored just 7 against Duke last year, 16 against South Carolina, and 17 against Wake Forest. Sometimes you got to lay it if you want to play it. Georgia, 31-13.
All right, we'll save Pitt for last, as this is the Pitt flagship station. Yeah. Penn State, West Virginia. Pitt fans don't like either school. Penn State on the road, favored by 8.
Is there a chance if West Virginia wins this game, we got to start covering the West Virginia games? Put them on the radio?
Well, I don't think so, but we will be talking about them in 2 weeks when Pitt gears up for
them. For sure.
All right, so I think they're improved. I love Garrett Green. I love the fight in this kid. He's a great leader. They just had trouble against Penn State. They lost 49 out of 60 games heads up. They also not as good as a home dog as you would expect under Neil Brown. 6-7 against the spread. Penn State, of all their wins last year, all 10 of them, 9 of the 10 were by 17 points or more. This line started at 13. It's down to 8. As Lee Corso said, not so fast. Penn State 31-20.
Ooh, my Pitt Panthers taking on Kent State, laying 23, Lee.
So I think Pitt is going to be one of these teams that improves as the season goes on. New offense with play fast system under new offensive coordinator Cade Bell. Don't want to date myself, but I played against his dad, Kerwin Bell, in a state semifinal game. Didn't fare well too well for me. We lost the game 24-17. But beside the point here, I think this offense that he directed last year, which averaged almost 38 points and over 500 yards a game, going to be much improved. They're going to be able to exploit some teams' weaknesses here. Kent lost by only 25 to Washington, 30 to Oklahoma 2 years ago when they were 5-7. I see a similar team here this year for the Golden Flashes. I love their special teams, new offense, even playing fast with more plays. It could take Pitt a few games to get the same production going that we'd like to see, but I think they're going to improve. And with Cincinnati and West Virginia on deck, I don't think they're going to show a whole lot here. Pitt wins 36-16, but I'm going to hold my nose and take Kent State 20-point win.
Lee, you're in regular season form here, mid-season form, when you utter such things as, I love the Kent State special teams. Tell us tell us about what you got going on at ParamountSports.com and the free play.
Just the website is ParamountSports.com. Got a lot of free pick videos, so we can't cover every game. Let's say you want to see a video of Michigan, Fresno State, or Alabama, or LSU, USC, or Texas A&M. And their game against Notre Dame, all those videos up and available about 2 minutes in length. You can check them out at ParamountSports.com. And if you want to hop on board, our 31st year in business, we've won 29 out of 30 years. Our first 40 to 50 unit major wager best bet we've released in week one in over 7 years. I found a game where a team is going to be considerably stronger and the team they're playing is going to be, I rate them, bottom five in the country. You want to get on this game, price out for the weekend, $147 for 8 to 10 plays. Just one place, ParamountSports.com, or call 800-400-9741.
Lee, you never went anywhere, but we're happy to have you back, man. Thank you so much.
Me too, guys. Enjoy it.
We'll talk to you next week. Dual NFL stuff, Lee. He's gone.
He is gone. He's out. He's got business to do. It is like, I don't know if the word is nostalgic, but it's such a great feeling to hear his voice, to know that this is what we're about to embark on. It's football, and it's back. And Lee Sterling here on Fridays, just as it makes me so happy. I look forward to it.
I do too, man. Kent State special
He's right a
teams.
Lot, too.
He's right all the time, Kent State special teams. Let me tell you guys, Pitt's going to win. They're not going to show a lot. Pay attention to the Kent State special teams.
Especially the kickoff team.
Oh, yeah. Is that what he said?
No.
I blacked out after I heard Kent State special teams. I'm like, we are in it now,
yes,
baby. A little Maction. I think Pitt covers. I think they cover. I think they get out to a massive early lead.
Yeah.
And then they coast and maybe a backdoor cover. But I think Pitt takes care of business. And then I think they beat Cincinnati. Not to get out ahead of my skis. I think they're beat Cincinnati without Don Corleone. Hell of a player.
He is a beast.
I forget his real first name. I don't think it's Don.
Donnie.
Is it? Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates. A personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. More college football to end the show. And we're up really for anything in this final hour on a Friday, but we'll revisit Omar Khan missing out on his guy, swinging and missing at Brandon Ayuk, and what that means for the Steelers in 2024.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For when we come back. No offense to this guy, I'm going to keep his name out of it, but he is today's social media's biggest loser, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. Said the Steelers wide receivers aren't very good. I didn't think that was a hot take I throw out there. And this guy writes, wide receivers are fine. The O-line is a disaster. Worry about the things that actually matter. Look, if you had Brandon Ayuk, that plugs a hole, and you'd still have an offensive line to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Van Jefferson's your number two wide receiver, and that's in Sharpie, and you still have an offensive line to worry about.
Yeah, you've got more worries now.
Yes, you have two problems,
yep.
Whereas if you had Brandon Ayuk, you would have one problem. So get that through your head. This Steelers offense rolls into this season in a bad place. I just call it like it is. Who's starting at right tackle? Who's starting at left tackle? We don't have the answers to those questions. It's probably going to be Broderick on the right and Dan Moore Jr. on the left. Isaac Seumalo is out for at least the first month. So you're going to start Spencer Anderson with one career snap under his belt, or you're going to start a rookie Mason McCormick at left guard. That means you're going to have three guys with very little experience, a couple of which with no experience. And if and when Faltanu comes back, he's your right tackle. Maybe Broderick's your left. And now you got four guys with very limited experience. Mm. So, yeah, of course, yes, the offensive line's a problem, but wide receiver, a massive problem, too.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely need somebody to – you need to keep up. As Pat was saying earlier, and as we've talked about a bunch of times, you need to be able to keep up. If your eyes are set on winning a championship, which every team is, and whether it's realistic or not, every team's goal is to win a Super Bowl. But in order to compete in the AFC and in the NFL nowadays, you got to be able to throw and catch. You just have to. You have to be able to score points. And I don't know how this team is going to be able to score points with what they have at the skilled position at wide receiver.
I'm with you. And they didn't score a lot of points last year, still found a way to make the playoffs. We'll see if they could do that again this year. You would expect the quarterback play to be better and the schemers better. The play callers better. It does highlight yet another reason to me why Russ Wilson is the correct quarterback for the job. You know, Russ is going to have now more pressure on him. With Van Jefferson as the number two wide receiver, you have an offensive line that's going to take time to gel. Hey, maybe it doesn't, but probably going to take time to gel. Imagine starting Justin Fields, who thinks he's getting into a better situation than he had in Chicago, but yet it's behind this injured and young line, and with one primary wide receiver to throw the ball to, you can't expect Justin Fields to develop,
right,
to get better habits, create better habits under those circumstances. Hey, he can't start right now. I know he's not, so it's a moot point, or as Mike Tomlin said in his press conference the other day, a mute point, but just another reason why I don't think Justin Fields would be the man for this particular job at this particular moment.
Mm-hmm. And the decision-making between both quarterbacks is vastly different. I think that's where they're looking for Justin Fields to grow. The decision-making factor, now he can use the decision to use his legs, and that does help, but you know, throughout a whole entire game and where you're going with the football and know, certain situational football things that happen, Russell Wilson does give you the best opportunity to execute those. And as, you know, we've been talking about throughout the whole show, like that's going to be important early and especially, you know, really throughout the whole season because you don't have an explosive guy. You have one. If he gets hurt or if he gets taken out of the game, then what? You have to play smart, methodical football. And that's what Russell Wilson does bring to the table.
There's a ton of pressure on him now, though, I think. As a guy who's won a Super Bowl to now come in, and you're going to have to lift all boats. You're going to have to be that tide. Every time I try to say that, I screw that up, by the way. Have you picked up on that? You got to be the tide that lifts all the boats. I always screw that up.
Well, I don't pick up on it because I just don't know the saying.
So every time I say it, you're like, okay, that
probably makes sense.
Sounds good enough.
Yeah, good enough to me.
Okay, very good. That's all that matters.
Right, that's it.
People know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Can Russ be that guy who lifts a below-average receiving core? And if he does, that's going to look really good for him. If Russ comes in and has success with all the chaos around him, he's going to prove a ton of naysayers wrong. But make no mistake, this is not going to be an easy job. And there is a ton of pressure on a guy that's trying to prolong his NFL career, whether it's here or elsewhere. He's trying to be a hot commodity come the end of the season. He was not that last year at $1.2 million. Also, ton of pressure on this defense. Now, unlike Russ, highly paid defense. T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith, Nick Herbig, rushing the passer. Cam Hayward, Keanu Benton, Patrick Queen, Joey Porter Jr., and Minkah Fitzpatrick. This defense is going to have to win games again, man. And I think they've got the defense now, especially at the beginning of the year, when healthy, to do that. But they better. Mike Tomlin, defensive coach, this defense, as costly a defense as there is in the National Football League, there was some hope with Brandon Ayuk that you might be able to win a game where you give up more than 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not seeing that early. It might be able to evolve to that, but in the early going especially, you're going to have to find a way to win games 17-12, 17-14, 13-9 there, Doran. You're going to have to find a way to do that, and that's not a sustainable model in today's NFL.
It's not, but the teams that they're playing, I feel like, could fit well. In the first you know what, four games.
Atlanta, Denver,
Chargers,
Colts.
So, I mean, the weapons that those teams do have, and I know Herbert's being thrown in there, and then you have Kirk Cousins being thrown in there. I feel like you can win that way against those teams, but after that, you're going to have to figure something out.
Yeah.
You know,
Dallas walks up in here and the Jets, potentially, if Rodgers is healthy and up to speed, I mean, those are teams that should be able to score points. Dallas absolutely could score points. Dallas scored a boatload of points last year. I don't think much is changing there. So you're right. You hope you can take advantage of this early season schedule. And then Samalu comes back. Maybe Broderick Jones is rounded into form. Troy Faltano becomes a player in this whole thing. And that's the optimistic viewpoint, but definitely on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely on the table. But I think what you're going to have now is a team that looks a lot like last year's team while looking completely different than last year's team, if that makes sense. Different personnel in a lot of instances and at the most important position, but you're going to look a lot the same way. And Bostic brought it up earlier in the show. They have one path to victory right now. One path. Whereas, and again, this is the extreme example because they won the Super Bowl and they have maybe the greatest quarterback, at least in terms of skill set of all time. But they beat the Ravens last year in the championship game 17-10 because they had Spagnuolo running that defense and they're young and hungry and they played great defense all year. But then when they needed to score points against the 49ers, what do? They go out and they score a whole bunch of points. So that's what it takes. This team's got one path to victory. Don't screw it up.
Yep.
Don't turn it over. And pin your ears back and hopefully you can create some havoc and turnovers and capitalize that way. I am at a low point in terms of my optimism for the Steelers, though, that I've been all offseason. It was a home run offseason for a long time. And Omar Khan, he was pot committed to this guy. And it didn't happen. And it's not the be-all, end-all if 2 months ago you say, we don't get Brandon Ayuk. But here we are, what, 9 days away from the start of the season? You're not going to get anything. Like, there is no plan B. And you mentioned earlier, and I think this is a really good point, maybe Cortland Sutton's available. I'm guessing, because I'm stealing it from you, he's not available to the Pittsburgh Steelers because they're not trying to give you Cortland Sutton so you can walk up in their trap and beat them in Denver in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. We're going to pay you, give you a number one receiver to come beat us. No way.
No. Do you think... Well, how do you grade the offseason now? Because I was up near an A, man, honestly.
I was too. I'm like B-minus now. I still think that it was decent, but I'm just very shocked that there was no plan to fall back on.
Yes.
And the timing of everything was just off.
Yes.
And that just can't happen because now you're really putting a lot of pressure in a lot of ways that you wanted to eliminate from last year. Last year at the end of the season, your probably thought process was like, let's eliminate all the pressures that we had and all the angles that were negative for our team. You tried to do that through the offseason and then you created one and didn't fix it.
Yep.
Through just the offseason. And that is just, you know, you're back yourself in a corner.
And it's a throwing league. I know rushing numbers were up last year, but you want to win, you got to have quarterback throws of football. So you need like four things, like the truly elite teams. And Kansas City's quarterback was so good that he didn't need wide receiver. You need to be able to rush the passer. You need to have a passer. And then you need corners and wide receivers.
Yep.
And the Steelers' two weakest spots, to me, are corner and wide receiver. You can throw offensive line in there. I don't so much think that's their fault. I think injury is kind of peeing on that parade a little bit. I mean, Broderick Jones can't be at his apex because he's hurt, and Troy Faltano is obviously not able to play, and Samalu goes down. Like, those things aren't their fault. Corner and wide receiver are their fault. And so coupling that with the offensive line, I'm at my absolute low point right now. Let's get to real football, though, and hopefully it looks a little bit better in Atlanta than I think it's going to look in Atlanta. 412-928-9370 is the phone number you want to chime in on all this. You can schedule a heart screening today. I got mine coming up next week. You can trust the nationally ranked experts at UPMC for your heart care. Topic we brought up with Bostic earlier that I'd like to expand on with you coming up next, Orn, about football coaches here in the area. All right, one last thing. I promise. One last thing here. Here's a tweet. I'm a little concerned about Crowley's health. Does he have a condition that will cost him his life if he goes more than 3 minutes without mentioning Brandon Ayuk? Look, there's breaking NFL news yesterday that directly affects the Steelers. If you don't think we're going to talk about it, then I don't know what show you've been listening to for the last couple of years. We're going to talk about stuff like that. That being said, I think all of us can agree. Would have been better if he were here. All happy it's over.
Yep.
Thank the lucky stars.
Yes. Thank goodness. We're done.
Can you
spent?
Can you imagine if we were still doing that going into next week? Or I guess we are doing it going into next week, but going into the game next week?
Ugh.
Yikes. All right. Real legitimate football things to discuss as Pitt, Penn State, West Virginia all open their seasons tomorrow. We had some tremendous college football-y things happening last night where Deion Sanders' team gets everything they can handle and more from an FCS opponent, an elite FCS opponent, a powerhouse FCS opponent, but still an FCS opponent nonetheless, to the point where there's a Hail Mary thrown towards the Colorado end zone. They're up by, what, 5?
Mm-hmm.
And it's completed at the 4-yard line. I mean, it's that game's right there.
Yes.
Then you got Minnesota down by 2 against North Carolina. They kick a field goal. Looks like it's going to be good. Hooks to the right. And Minnesota starts shooting off fireworks as if the field goal was good and that they won the game. So it's amazing. That's college football right there, Doran.
Yeah, what a way to start the weekend. And, I mean, we have a slate of games tonight, and we're going to have a full slate on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. There are games. So what a way to start. I love that they do have this kind of period before the NFL does start to kind of get their games out and get everybody watching, get everybody back into football. But, you know, last night with I saw a lot of people tweeting, you know, Shedeur Sanders, and I think that he's a fine player. But after last night, seeing some of the throws that he made and some of the plays that he made, a lot of people are like, oh, he's going to be the best quarterback in the draft. I'm like, all right, yeah, like he's going to be great, I do believe. But let's not anoint him yet. Like, he played against North Dakota State, as you said, powerhouse FCS team. But let's see him next week against Nebraska, and let's see them against some true tough Division I teams.
Let's say he is the best quarterback in college football. Let's say he does achieve that, and he's outstanding, and he's a Heisman finalist, even for a bad football team, which doesn't really ever happen. Can you draft him 1-1 with his dad being his dad? I hate to say that about the guy, because if you're a great player, get drafted on your own merits. But his dad, man, is he says stuff, he meddles. I would worry that every time my team does something, let's say he gets drafted by the Cowboys, or just right, to name a team, because that marriage would fit, or the Raiders.
The Raiders.
Let's say he gets drafted by one of those two teams. That offensive coordinator's coming under fire. That head coach is coming under fire. Everybody's coming. Wide receiver drops a ball that his son throws,
yep,
coming under fire. You are asking for a you-know-what storm.
Yep.
If Deion Sanders' son does something and his teammates, people around him, don't live up to their end of the bargain, you know Deion ain't keeping his mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the answer to my question is yes. I still think if he's good enough, you draft him one. But it does make me pause for a second and think about it.
I mean, what does that leave for Deion, though? Because I have these thoughts swirling around in my head that Deion does have connections and he is polarizing, that there's always firings in the NFL. I believe in my mind that Deion's going to try to get one of those head coaching jobs in the NFL. And if you are firing a coach that you have right now, you're probably not winning, so they're probably going to have a high pick. And I think that a team and an owner is going to hire Deion, and then he's going to figure out every way to draft his son.
Like, all right, that's pretty good theory
But what does it leave for Deion? Like, is he still going to coach Colorado if his son's not there? Or I don't know about his other son. Does he have another year? Shiloh Sanders or the corner?
I don't know.
I think they're both might be gone. I could be wrong, so let me know. But if they're both gone, you think Deion's going to stay in Boulder, Colorado and be a coach? No, he wants to keep climbing the ladder.
If they go 4-8 or 3-9 or 5-7, something like that, and his sons leave, I could see him just...
Well, he's gone.
Peacing. Absolutely. Absolutely. And he did a great job at his last stop. I mean, he did a great job there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a whole different animal, especially the way he's trying to do it. I think they took 53 transfers this year. I wouldn't want to keep doing that if I'm him. Mm-hmm. If I have an opportunity to go do it someplace else again with my son, I'd go take it someplace else.
Yeah.
So we were going to talk about pressure on local college coaches, and we will do that when we come back, give you some predictions. Here's a text. Hey, guys, love listening to you guys. Just out of the hospital, had surgery, and so bored, but Doran, Adam, Harry make me smile. Thank you, guys. Thank you for saying
that. Thank
you. And all the best to you.
Yes.
Getting out of the hospital. Wish you good health. And, you know, I mentioned this earlier on in the show that Johnny Gaudreau news is shocking and horrific. Ugh. If you missed it, he's in New Jersey, was in New Jersey for his sister's wedding, and he and his brother hit by a suspected drunk driver and both killed. He's 31 years old.
Terrible.
Awful. Jeez. And that family?
I can't stop thinking about it.
Me neither, man. And you hate to bring people down on the morning show, and that's why we're not, you know, spending large swaths of time talking about this. But, yeah, it's just, it's awful, and your heart goes out for the family. I mean, he's a dad, a brother to his sister who is getting married. She loses both of her brothers. The parents lose two sons. It's just, it's
awful.
Unconscionable.
Awful.
Unconscionable. Man. And whether it was actually a drunk driver or not, like, people be smart out there.
Yep.
Like, there's Ubers. You have everything at your disposal now more than ever to not have to do that, to not get behind the wheel of a car. So don't. All right, we get cheerier when we come back. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Big-time college football tomorrow. But first, I want to tell everybody about something coming up that's really exciting. It is the Great Race. 1 month countdown to the 47th running, in fact, of the Great Race, Pittsburgh's Fall Fitness Class, established in 1977. Before you were born, Doran? Yeah, it takes place on September 29th, 2024. That's the year it is. Mm. Probably didn't need to read the 2024. It is presented by City of Pittsburgh Office of Special Events, and you can register at www.rungreatrace.com, and that'll be Saturday, September 28th, Dollar Bank Junior Great Race at Point State Park, and then Sunday, September 29th, the Great Race, Frick Park to Point State Park. It's a 10K run. They also have the Oakland to Point State Park 5K run and fitness walk. Again, www.rungreatrace.com. Doran, let me phrase it this way. What does Pat Narduzzi need to do this year? Like, what does Pitt need to do that's like the bare minimum where you go, okay, last year's a total anomaly?
Win the games they're supposed to. And people say, well, what games are they supposed to win? I think if you look at the schedule, there are games on there to be had. And if you do that, you'll find the consistency and you'll be in a better spot. Cincinnati, I keep saying it, that is a game that you need to win. You need to go on the road with a young quarterback, if he is the quarterback at the time, in Holstein, and win that game. And then you can get that momentum throughout September. Obviously, West Virginia's a toss-up. I don't really think that game will make or break a season. You would love to win that game if you're Pitt. But the games you need to win, you need to win. That's just really what it comes down to for me. You can't have any games that, like a Boston College at the end of the year, like lose that game to be bowl eligible or something like that. You have to win the games that you need to win.
I think that's well said. The way I look at it is quite similar, I think. I think bare minimum you got to go 6-6, but Holstein has to look really, really good, and you have to have proof of concept that this offense was the right move. If you do that, you get bowl eligible, you win a bowl game, and you say, okay, we've got our quarterback of the now and the future. You can't say it's a bad year. Now, that's not to say, like, if you start 4-0 or you start 3-1 or something like that, the expectations can't change. Wow, this is all working very fast, and Eli Holstein looks really good, and this offense looks really good. So now 8-4, 9-3. Like, expectations change as the season moves on. But as we look at it right now, I think you go like 7-5, and Holstein's the guy?
Feeling pretty good.
I think you're feeling pretty good. Again, it doesn't have to be something that people are doing backflips for, but I happen to think last year was an aberration at 3-9. A lot needed to go wrong for that to happen, and all the wrong things happened. I think they'll be good enough on defense where they're going to be competitive most weeks, too. You and Pat Bostic both really optimistic about the defense that they've put together, and we know what Pat Narduzzi does with defense. Same question, but with James Franklin and Penn State.
they need to win the big game. And I don't think it's enough. And if they do lose that game and they find themselves in the playoffs, it's not just enough to win a playoff game. Like, you have to go through the playoffs and win significant football games. I think everybody's getting uneasy up there. I'm sure that they would say the same thing. They don't know if James Franklin is the guy that can really push them, through to being a championship caliber team. They have to figure it out. Like, they can't lose any games, any games that they're supposed to win. Like, their schedule does, benefit them a little bit, and they got the big game, but you have to not only make it to the playoffs, but you have to have some significant wins in the playoffs. That's where they're at.
I'm like, with you.
I think people are tired. They're tired of it up there.
I think you either need to beat Ohio State and make the playoff, or if you lose to Ohio State, you got to win a playoff game. You got to show that you win one of those big games.
Big game.
If it's the Ohio State game, that's the big game that you have circled, or if you don't and you got a playoff game at home at Beaver Stadium, you can't just make the playoff. Like, as an at-large team, you make the playoff and lose a home game in the playoff at Beaver Stadium, those pitchforks and torches are going to be out again.
I'll say this too. Like, you either beat Ohio State and make the playoffs, or you lose to Ohio State and win a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Aller has to be the reason why you win. Like, he has to come through too, because we saw what he did last year whenever the big moments were. And I don't know if he has that. And he's grown. I mean, he's getting older, and he's, becoming, sharpening the tools of, his arsenal to be that good quarterback that everybody's talking about. He has to be the reason why you beat Ohio State. He has to be the reason why you win a playoff game. Also, alongside of James Franklin. They have to do it together.
Yeah.
It can't be him just, throwing picks and not scoring, throwing touchdowns. He can't be under 100 yards throwing. Like,
yeah,
he
can't
be a
manage the game kind of deal. Yeah. No. Yeah, because, look, he was the Princess Promise, man. And his first game last year against my guys looked really good. And I know he lost to Ohio State and Michigan. Not some great sin, because they beat a lot of teams. However, Michigan and Ohio State both held Penn State under their own scoring defense averages.
Yep.
So they actually played better, their defenses did, against Penn State than they did on average. That's why their OC got fired. That's why they bring in the guy from Kansas, who I think's a hell of a hire. We'll see just how ready they are with that guy and that offense coming up tomorrow. And I think Neil Brown needs to kind of repeat last season's performance.
Yes.
You go 8-4, something like that, I think you're okay.
Yes.
But they're going to do better than that, because they're going to beat Penn State tomorrow.
I hope they do. You'll never hear me say that ever again.
And for you, Doran, I hope Pitt beats Kent State by 30 points, and we can both make some money off of it, too.
I love it.
Tomorrow, on The Fan, you're on the call. You and Patty B, Bill Hillgrove, back for his 754th season. Really excited about it. Welcome back to college football, friends, and we'll be talking about it on Tuesday. We are out on Monday. And we'll look ahead to the Steelers against the Atlanta Falcons. Let's go, buddy!
Yes, sir!
Let's go!
Yes, sir!
Football! Callis, have a great weekend. Goodbye. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet. Up to 7,500 in rebates. Terms, conditions, sunchevy.com. Today, high at 90.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.